The following is a presentation of Grace Covenant Baptist Church, West Monroe, Louisiana.
Well, welcome again to Grace Covenant Baptist Church, this beautiful hot July morning. Well, if you'll remember, several weeks ago now, we discussed the communicable and the incommunicable attributes of God and kind of the difference between those. So, as a little bit of a refresher, who can remember what those are, what the difference is between them, and share that with us? The difference between communicable and incommunicable attributes of God. Nothing? It's a good guess. Good guess. Who remembers something? Or who wants to take a guess at it? Take a guess. What a good student. Going through her notes. Okay, so communicable. Say that one again. Okay, and incommunicable. God alone, absolutely. Absolutely. So, yes, communicable, full, perfect in God, but faintly present in us. Incommunicable. They belong to God and God alone. He does not share these. Today we are going to begin a section of the incommunicable attributes of God. We are going to get into some of the omnis. So what does the word omni, as a root word, mean? What does omni mean? Yes. And casino hotels in Vegas. And absolutely. All. Right. That's right. We're beginning a section on the omnipresence, omniscience, and omnipotence. And if you're like my wife and I, we're bothered that some of them are omniscient, omnipotence, and then you have omnipresence. We pronounce that one differently, and I don't know why, but we do, and that bothers us. Just does. But the fact that God is all-present, all-knowing, all-powerful. For obvious reasons, we can see that these things are the incommunicable attributes of God. I mean, obviously, cannot be everywhere at once. We cannot know all things. We cannot do all things that are in our will to do. But today, we're going to go over kind of four main points about the first one, the omnipresence of God. So start off, little catechism children, where is God?
Everywhere,
exactly. So number one, on omnipresence of God, He is present everywhere. The Bible clearly states that God is all-present, that He is present everywhere. But the phrase that God is all-present or present everywhere is one of those phrases that we say a lot. But what does it really mean? You know what? For me, as I was, it's one of those words. It's a tough phrase to tightly define. You know, what actually are we saying? So, what do you think? What does this phrase mean when we say God is all present? What does that mean?
Everywhere.
He's everywhere.
He is completely and fully present in all places at all times.
So, simply put, yes. Absolutely. He's not bound by anything. Yeah. Okay.
No.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay.
He comes from the fact that we have difficulty dealing with God's boundlessness.
Mm-hmm.
The answer that we've heard this morning, which are correct, not wrong, gives away our finite understanding of God. Because we put God in all places. But what would happen if we said God's omnipresence means that all things are immersed in Him?
Mm-hmm.
God remains constant. God is there. Things move not in and out of Him necessarily, but closer to the center of His presence and further away from the center of His presence. presence, but we're like the fish in an ocean.
Mm-hmm.
God is the ocean. We're the fish. We're in Him.
Yeah.
So to a fish, the ocean is omnipresent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everywhere that fish goes, there's water. That's weird.
Because he's living in the ocean. Yeah. We're living and existing in some fashion as God is the fountain of all creation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think
when you stay all places, everywhere there is anything, God is fully there.
He's fully there.
And He's fully there. And all the times that He is, it's not something that He has created.
Yeah.
But at any time that it's ever existed, He was fully there.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, when we are limited by space and time. You know, with us being limited by those things, like a lot of these things, it's extremely difficult for us to understand even at all. But, often being faced with multiple demands on things to do, I often say the phrase, you know, if only I could be in two places at once. You know, I know I've heard you say that before. Well, God doesn't have that problem. It's not something that He thinks about or worries about. He is at every place and every point of His creation because every point and every place of His creation is in Him. You know, so it's really, you know, as you kind of pointed out, it's not that really God is everywhere. Everywhere is in God, you know, because He is there. It goes back to kind of what I think it was Mr. Lamar that taught a few weeks ago when I was out. But children, another catechism question. Let's see if Noah remembers this one. Noah, what is God? And what was that, Noah? God is spirit and doesn't have a body like. I think I heard it from over there too. Yeah. Good. Good. Yeah. God is spirit and doesn't have a body like men. I think it was you, Mr. Lamar, taught a few weeks ago on the spirituality of God. Or was that Mr. Ken? You? Okay. Exactly. You know, the fact that God has no spatial dimensions, no limitations to Himself. He can be everywhere present at one time. And to take that one step further, He can be everywhere present, as Mr. Lamar said, everywhere present at one time in the fullness of who He is. He can be everywhere present. And what I mean by that, you know, guys, if y'all are like me, your wife has probably said things to you before like, where are you? You are here, but you are not here. You know, meaning I'm physically, bodily in the room, but I'm really not there. I'm zoned out. My mind is somewhere else. You know, absent-mindedness. I'm thinking about something else at that same time. And God, once again, God doesn't have that problem. He is fully aware, fully present. The entire fullness of all that He is, everywhere, all the time. And we obviously are not going back to the incommunicable attributes of God. So, the first place we're going to go in Scripture today, if you'll turn with me, is to Psalm chapter 139, verses 7 through 10. Psalm 139, 7 through 10. If somebody get there, if they just start reading for us. 139, verses 7 through 10.
Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in pillows, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me.
So we start. Or go ahead.
If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you, the night is bright as day, for darkness is not as light with you.
Okay. That's good. You're good. Thanks, Barry. The first line here in verse 7, where shall I go from your spirit? Now, Is this an interrogative or a rhetorical question? Rhetorical. It implies...